And straight, I'm the acting mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's council meeting on the 1st of June 2026, and a very warm welcome to everyone in the public gallery with us this evening. And could you please make sure that your mobile phones are now turned to silent, please? It's 5:30 p.m. and I now declare this meeting open. Council now operates under the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, and under those regulations I'm required to advise you that an audio or video recording is being made of the meeting. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. The audio recording of council meetings is made publicly available on our website, and meetings are live streamed on YouTube. I will now ask staff to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, pay our respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. In attendance this evening, we have myself, Acting Mayor, Councillor C Street, Councillor Ann Tolley, Councillor Bain, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, and Councillor Richardson. From our staff, we have our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Dave Stewart, our Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, our Director of Engineering Services, Mr. Craig Mackey, our Director of Environment Development and Community Services, Mrs. Deleuze Shakuti, our Coordinator of Statutory Planning, Mrs. Melissa Stevenson, our Project Director for the Kingston Sports Precinct, Mr. Daniel Kaimatsoglu, our Communications Officer, Mr. Stuart Heather, and our Acting Executive Assistant, Ms. Portia Jones. Councillor Cordova is an apology this evening. Moving on to the confirmation of minutes of the last meeting, can I have a mover, please, that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting No. 9 held on 18 May 2026 be confirmed as a true record? Councillor Fox and seconded Councillor Ann Tolley. All those of that opinion, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion's carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last council meeting on the 25th of May 2026, we held a workshop on the capital plan. Moving on to item 6, declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest that they would like to declare in any item on this evening's agenda? No. Moving on to transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or from closed into open session? No. That being the case, we'll move on to questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public have a question that they wish to ask without notice?
I'm here again. My name's Jennifer Lawrence from Kingston. I know you're voting on the dog park today, but I would just like to ask one question.
I can't allow you to do that. I'm sorry.
It's not relating to the dog park. It's a sort of health issue.
Why don't you ask the question and we'll try it on size.
I have a pacemaker. I don't use it a lot of the time, but there are a lot of older people that may have pacemakers or defibrillators. Now, you're placing the dog park around an electrical substation. Has there been a risk assessment done in relation to how this might affect pacemakers?
It is a question about an agenda item. I think we can answer it, though. Mr. Smee?
Thank you. Yes, we did do a risk assessment. We sought advice from a cardiac specialist and there was considered to be no risk.
Okay, that's fine. The other thing is in relation to, my second question, is in relation to communication from the council. I'm aware that you do a monthly newsletter, e-newsletter, that is on the council website. It is on possibly on your Facebook page. But in previous meetings in relation, especially to the dog park, there are a lot of people who do not use social media or internet, especially the elderly. Now, I know we're in a bit of a technological age, but there's still some dinosaurs out there, if you want to call them dinosaurs. Now, is it possible that the council may consider doing a print version of your e-newsletter, having it available at the council for people who don't use social media or the internet to read up, so that you can advise them how things are going.
Is this me?
Yes, we can give consideration to that.
It's just that I will just say that with relation to the dog park, the signs have gone down, but there's a lot of people that weren't aware, because it's only on your web page, that it has been extended. And we've been telling them, the ones that go when at the times that we're at, but people that go in the afternoon weren't aware of it. So it would be an idea if, you know, we don't rely on word of mouth, if that's okay. Okay. And finally, my last question is, I know it's not height of tourism season, but there's still a lot of tourists around. The other day, or last week, I drove from the Summerlees Peanut through to Kingston, and between the peanut and the turn off to the outlet, there were 10 dead animals on the highway, on my side of the road only. Now, I know shifting them or removing them may upset the balance of the environment with other animals that eat carrion, but do the council have a road patrol that can perhaps take them from the middle of the road and put them to the side so that they're not visible? Because I know when we have visitors over, we have to explain to people, don't really worry about the roadkill. It's because there's so many animals.
Mr. Smee.
Thank you for the question. We do indeed pick up roadkill from council roads. However, we don't have a weekend road patrol doing that, but certainly during week hours, that is a task that is assigned to our staff, yes.
Well, I really wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the public?
Good evening. Charlie Biggins, Leslie Vale. I have a few more questions relating to fire abatement. We've heard from council that picking up fallen dead sticks, leaves and bark from the ground doesn't trigger the biodiversity code overlay. The TFS guidelines for green fuel breaks require sticks, leaves and bark to be maintained at a depth of no greater than 100 mil. At what point does the natural build-up of dry combustible material constitute a fire abatement nuisance and an extreme fire risk property for Kingborough Council?
Mr. Smee.
The point is guided by the TAS fire guidelines. Our abatement staff attend accredited training in relation to fire hazard abatement, and they determine whether an abatement exists in accordance with guidelines set by TAS Fire.
Can't be more specific than that. As far as we know, the CEO has not acted to abate the naturally occurring fuel loads at any of the extreme fire risk properties identified by GeoNeon in their 2025 bushfire exposure index mapping. Yet council staff have been in negotiations with RACT to study the risk and offer incentives paid for by the ratepayer. Can you please explain how council can acknowledge on one hand that an unacceptable fire risk exists for the insurance industry at certain extreme risk properties, and yet, on the other hand, still unsatisfied that an abatement fire risk exists?
Mr. Stewart, we've
answered questions that you've posed at previous council meetings, talking about the approach that council likes to take in terms of working with property owners in the first instance, making sure a proactive approach with abatement sort of being at the far end of that process. Look, the program that council is considering entering into with RACT and the City of Hobart is much more along the lines of proactively working with community members, helping provide education about what good fire management at their property looks like. So it's at the front end of that process. Abatement is a sort of a tool of last resort, I guess, if council sees a risk that is untenable that needs to be managed.
The memorandum of understanding is targeting between 100 and 120 of the most extreme fire risk properties. The memorandum of understanding between RACT, City of Hobart and Kingborough has been described by RACT as a, and I quote, behavioural science experiment. And for the purposes of the experiment, the details cannot be discussed in public. Will Council be committing to funding of this experiment before or after the details of the Memorandum of Understanding are made public?
Mr. Stewart.
Council is currently considering that investing into the program. That point in time won't occur until in such time as we have formally passed the budget. However, given this program is out there in the public, we're looking to consider, I guess, in principle, support of the program. Look, I think whilst the details of exactly how the program runs mightn't be in the public, I believe that we can have confidence with the partners that we're looking to work with here, including the City of Hobart and and UTAS as well, that this will be an evidence-based and informative process for us to go through to understand what good fire management can look like in our municipal area.
Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions from any members of the public?
My name is Will Perry from Howden. I have three questions. The first question, what is Council's total debt position today? What are the debt servicing costs per annum? And how does that compare to when this group of councillors took office in October 22?
Mr. Stewart.
Without our Director of People and Finance in the room, I'd be answering it off the top of my head. So I will take that on notice to be able to make sure that I give you accurate figures.
Sure, thank you. My second question, what is the projected underlying operating result for the current financial year, and does that represent the 10th underlying deficit in 11 years?
Mr. Stewart.
Again, I don't have the information in front of me, but it's the forecast end result of the year will be an underlying deficit.
Okay, thank you. And question number three, excluding the audit panel, when was the last time Council had its business structure and financial performance independently reviewed? At what point does Council consider its financial performance to be a problem requiring urgent action, and what would that action look like?
Mr. Stewart.
That's a pretty broad question. So there has been a internal audit of Council's financial sustainability taken by WLF, who's our internal audit firm. I can't tell you the date of that off the top of my head, so we'll need to fill in the gaps on notice here. But that financial sustainability review has been conducted. We don't have a review of our operating structure within the organisation. I see that as a duty of myself and the executive team to do that for the organisation.
Sure thing. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the public?
Hi, Tamika Adkins, Oyster Cove. I also have some questions around finances. So as a ratepayer, I am concerned that our money is going towards servicing debt instead of actual services. I understand that borrowing is often used to fund infrastructure. However, there's a large amount of debt with interest rates rising. I'm asking questions to better understand long-term financial impacts, and I understand without that person that you need here, they may have to go on notice, but I'll ask them anyway. So will rising debt servicing costs have any impact directly on rates, fees or our service levels? So, for instance, you know, and how much of that increase is actually anticipated in the budget?
Mr. Stewart.
The debt that Council carries is through multiple individual loans. Each of them is on a fixed term and a fixed interest rate. So fluctuations that are currently in the marketplace at the moment are not directly impacting Council's debt servicing for this coming financial year.
What plans are in place to reduce debt, or will borrowing continue to increase? And at what point would Council change its borrowing strategy?
Mr. Stewart.
Council approves borrowing on a pretty limited basis. The debt that Council currently carries was incurred largely in the development of Kingston Park, so a specific project that was developed utilising debt. Council has paid down $3 million of the debt earlier this year, so it's an indication that, you know, where there are available cash, there is available cash, Council will consider that on a case-by-case basis in order to be able to decrease the overall debt holding that the organisation has.
Lastly, can Council please explain clearly what portion of rate revenue is currently going towards debt servicing?
Mr. Stewart.
I can't give you an exact percentage. It'll be somewhere just over 1%.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
Joel Hodson-Middleton. During my hearing at the TPC, the Planning Authority discussed the lack of or more work being needed for strategic planning in regard to rural living, and mentioned the Middleton and Southern Channel region in particular. Can Council elaborate on what strategic planning has gone into, how zoning has been applied under the LPS?
Ms. Shikudi.
Thank you. That's a really good question. So the draft LPS is the transition from the interim schemes to the new planning scheme. There are, as you're aware, and we've discussed, you know, communicated quite a few times, is that there are guidelines and statutory rules that we apply when transitioning the zone from current interim scheme to the TPS. Now, there may be some strategic work that we've done in historically or in the past that has informed those zoning outcomes. But my understanding is we didn't specifically do additional strategic work. And so in terms of place-based analysis, it was a translation as best we could in accordance with the rules to the new scheme, which is what all councils have been through, and Kingra is the last to go through that process. In terms of the strategic work, it's normal for that to sort of happen before and after and be ongoing, and it is different to, I suppose, the transition to the new scheme. It's usually local or place-based planning where there is a lot more sort of deeper analysis into an area for a reason. So a really good example is Kingston CBD, that we might need to do a structure plan or a master plan for Kingston CBD. It'll often involve targeted engagement with the community to inform that. And then post that, it may or may not then be utilised for further work in terms of potential zoning changes. Unfortunately, it's hard for any council, you know, in a perfect world, it'd be great to do these things sequentially and in order. Unfortunately, things like state reviews of planning schemes happen that we don't dictate the timing for, and, you know, it might have to wait till after, or some might be done before. Hope that answers your question.
LPS is approved, you mean? Yeah. Taking into consideration Council's own documents, such as Strategic Plan 2025 to 35, or other documents that are reviewed in between that time, can you give an outline of how this planning might occur? Particular timelines?
Yeah, I can't give exact timelines. As we've described before, we have finite resources, particularly in our strategic planning space, and that's been everything's been put towards the draft LPS and getting through that process and having it finalised. However, we do recognise a very important need to start that work, and what we will be working on is, I suppose, for lack of a better term, a bucket list of all the strategic, additional strategic work that we would like or needs to happen and like to do. We would prioritise that on, I suppose, its urgency and importance and value to the different areas that it might be in. And that will give us an idea of resourcing of that too and progressing that project plan.
So when these changes occur, will the LPS be amended, or will it be, do you foresee simply changing property zones, or do you foresee applying further local area objectives or SAPs?
Thank you. I can't say until we do the work. It may result in scheme amendments to, I suppose, implement the plans. It really depends on the plans, the area, and what the objectives of each of those strategic pieces of work are. I know that's a very high-level answer, but unable to sort of drill down any further at this stage.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the public this evening? Okay. There are no further questions from members of the public. Before we move to questions without notice from councillors, one of the unfortunate aspects of becoming the acting mayor is that I can no longer ask myself questions. But there are a couple of matters that I wish to update the public in relation to before we go to questions without notice from councillors. Firstly, it's been a matter of report that there have been leaks in the sports centre roof over the last week the last week's rain event. We acknowledge the frustration that has caused for user groups. We know that leaks during wet weather have disrupted activities. And at times of sustained heavy rain, there have had to be cancellations as well. That's had a direct impact on clubs and participants and families who use the facility. While the building has been leaking for some time, it's clear that the situation's worsened in recent months, and we accept that a more comprehensive investigation into the underlying causes of those leaks should be undertaken, and it should have been undertaken earlier. To address this, we have engaged a specialist roofing contractor to undertake a detailed assessment of the building. That assessment is now complete and has given us a much clearer understanding of the issues involved. Importantly, that assessment has confirmed that the majority of the roof structure and sheeting remains in good condition, with an estimated remaining service life of between 10 and 15 years. Based on that advice, we've released a package of remedial works to address the identified defects, particularly around flashing and guttering, and we expect to award a contract later this week. Those works focus on resolving the known problem areas while retaining the parts of the roof that are still performing well. That approach is expected to extend the overall life of the asset and avoid the need for a costly full roof replacement in the near future. In the meantime, we've already undertaken temporary repairs and sealing works to help minimise any further impacts on users as the rain is expected to continue. We're committed to resolving these issues properly and to improving how we maintain what's
one of our most important community facilities into the future, and we appreciate the patience and understanding of all users while the work's completed. The other matter that I wanted to raise has been foreshadowed by Ms Lawrence, and I thank her for doing that, and that is the extension to the planned closure of the dog exercise areas and the mountain bike park at the sports precinct. We'd previously advised that those facilities were going to be closed on the 31st of May to support the next phase of construction works associated with development in that area. We've now secured an extension to that timing, which means these facilities will remain available for a longer period than originally planned. The extension provides additional time for community use while our preparations for construction continue, and that will be until the 22nd of June. This extension gives users more time and allows Council to continue working through the transition in a more orderly way, including ongoing communication and consultation and engagement with affected groups. We'll continue to keep everyone updated as that work progresses. Questions on notice or without notice from councillors? Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting Mayor. So I had a question just in regards to, I saw that Devonport has announced they're doing a lot of work in the area of AI and developing some strategies around that. I'm just wondering if we're looking to that. Evidently they're leading that area in the local government sector in Tasmania, and I'm just curious to know, are we interested in that and are we progressing anything in that area?
Mr Stewart, are we interested in AI?
We are very interested in AI. So AI is a powerful tool, and it forms part of the council digital strategy that has been created. There's a couple of councils that are doing great work in this space. One of them is Devonport. Huon Valley down the road also doing some really interesting work in the area. Look, I think over the next little while, firstly, putting a policy in place to make sure that we've got guardrails about how we safely utilise AI, and making sure that we're using AI in the context that keeps council data safe is really important. But beyond that, we'll be looking to continually learn and grow how we utilise AI, including learning from our colleagues at other councils as well. So both our own approach, but also leveraging what others are doing.
Councillor Midgley, any further questions?
Mike, just one further question. I note there was a question from a resident, Ms Rhea, regarding the National Conference of LGA, City of Sydney motion to establish a national fund for LGA for mitigation and remediation. And I think we all received a further follow-up email from the local resident. Just wondering, has council ever considered, or do we at all intend, or has anybody from the LGAT gone and attended that conference, I guess, and looked at that City of Sydney motion that's been outlined in the agenda?
I don't know about the specific motion, but in terms
Sorry, not the motion, the question. There was a question in the agenda.
Yes.
From a resident, and what, I'm just...
What's the question, Councillor Midgley?
So the... sorry, I haven't put my notes in front of me, so they're not clear, sorry. So the resident has asked us if we have ever thought about attending that local government association, National General Assembly, where the City of Sydney is putting a motion around the National Climate Adaption Funding and Accountability for Australian Cities. The local resident has found out about that and would love us to be able to support that. So I guess the question is, how could we at all have our voice on the table to show our support for this motion? Have staff thought about that? Anything they'd like to say.
Representatives from Kingborough have attended the ALGA conference previously, generally the mayor. The conference is this month. We're trying to work out those arrangements at the moment. Are there any further questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just a question, just a hopefully a quick one. Could you just provide an update around what toilet facilities are currently available to members of the public outside of ours at Kingston Beach specifically, and whether there's been any changes recently?
Thank you for the question. There have been 24-hour access to public toilets at Kingston Beach at the Christopher Johnson Memorial Park ongoing. That has always been the case. The toilets at the middle of the beach have been closed between 9:30pm and 5:30am. Given recent concerns, we've made arrangements for those toilets to open earlier at 4:30am in the morning. We're investigating some directional signage so that users understand that outside those hours there are always the toilets at Christopher Johnson Memorial Park open and available for use. And look, long-term aspiration is to try and see whether we can arrange some sort of tech solution to after-hours access, but that's a bit of an aspirational goal at the moment.
Councillor, who may not be aware, could you just be a bit more specific about where Christopher Johnson Memorial Park actually is, because it's not maybe all that known?
It's over Browns River, so adjacent to the Dog Beach exercise area. Are there any further questions without notice from councillors? All right. Moving on to questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from councillors. With that, the open session adjourns and the Planning Authority commences at 6:01pm. Moving to page 12, item 12.1, a development application for extension and alterations to dwelling at 208 Channel Highway, Taroona. Do I have a mover for the recommended motion? Councillor Bain and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So the development application for extension and alterations to the dwelling at 208 Channel Highway, Taroona. The proposed extensions will include additional bedrooms and attached deck, and the alterations include the removal of internal walls, kitchen joinery, fittings and fixtures. There were two areas that didn't meet acceptable solutions and had to be assessed against the performance criteria. So the first one requires the dwelling to be contained within a building envelope. So the new roof of the proposed extension sits outside the building envelope, but the officer's report tells us that this is unlikely to result in significant reduction in sunlight to the habitable rooms next door, as the four levels of those rooms would be at similar height to the ceiling of the proposed extension. The second area of concern was that this requires the dwelling to have a site coverage of not more than 25%, whereas this proposal has a site coverage of 28%. And the officer's response to that one was that it wouldn't have a major impact on the property's existing private open space. Some of the backyard private open space would be reduced, but most of it would remain available. And we also have the new deck, which would provide additional outdoor living space. For this application, there was three representations raising issues around privacy, noise impacts, overshadowing, and concerns about the accuracy of the ground levels used in the application. Planning officers provided responses to all those representations. So based on that, I'm happy the requirements have been met and I'll be supporting the recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers on this motion? Councillor Bain, I assume you have nothing further to say in relation to this matter, so I'll put the recommended motion, which is as shown in the agenda and on the screen. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. It's carried unanimously. Moving to page 43, development application for dog exercise area and associated car park and fencing at Transcend Networks, 34 Maddox Road, Kingston. Do I have a mover of the recommended motion? I've got a mover in Councillor Dean and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Dean.
Thanks, Mayor. Just first point out that we're still sitting as a planning authority here. We haven't gone into open session just yet. But before us is a development application for the dog exercise area, or a new dog exercise area located at 34 Maddox Road. Proposed development is not just around a dog exercise area, but also provides limited car parking within the space. Provides three areas for small dogs, large dogs and greyhounds. There will be 10 parks and an additional 5 nearby as proposed. As part of this is read in 1.3 in the background, council I think have done significant amount of work in investigating alternatives, with six alternative sites investigated, and 34 Mannix Road was chosen as the most suitable. Let me just flick through my report. As part of the proposal, there were 14 representations against and 4 further representations received outside the time limit. They covered various things from noise and loss of amenity to privacy impact concerns, traffic and parking related concerns, boundary treatment and buffering, as well as the process and generally just the site suitability. From my view, this has been a fairly long process, but I'm confident with the responses that have been put forward there by staff. And just noting, I should have probably mentioned that this is again in relation to the fact that we're very excited to have the High Performance Centre built up at the sports precinct, but as we'll also discuss later this evening, comes around the commitment from council that no user groups will be worse off and that they will be suitably relocated elsewhere. So that's where we're at. I'm glad to see that it is now progressing and I'm happy to move the report.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Fox.
I have a question. Does this area have access to toilets?
And
would there be a potential for toilets at this location?
I can answer the question. At the stage, it doesn't have proposed toilet facilities. They are something that could be investigated and added to the location at a further stage.
Support the concept of, as described by Councillor Dean, and I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, I also do support this and thanks Councillor Dean for the summary. Just in regards to this land, so it's owned by TAS Networks, but noting that it hasn't been accessible to the community before, so it's been a vacant block of land owned by TAS Networks, but the community's never had any other use. Is that correct?
Mr. Stewart.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you. And just in regards to the hours of operation, I understand there was notes in the report around when it will be accessible and how that, you know, the times and access and the signage and things like that, but how will that be reviewed? Because I did note that in some of the representations there was questions about the noise. So if people are using it outside of these hours, how are we going to sort of check in on that?
Mr. Stewart. Oh, Mr. Smead.
Thank you. That would be a compliance matter. We would need to receive reports of that from the public, and then we would need to assess the compliance with the permit conditions accordingly.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. And there was just one other point in the report I thought it's important to point out. There was there were going to be some removal of trees and some high conservation trees. And it was noted in the report that we'll do our best to protect some of the ones that we can. And I just, hope that we can. Just want to make that, hopefully we can protect the trees that we said that we will protect.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Any further speakers? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. One of the concerns which was raised was the lack of separation between the neighbours and the dog park. And one of the conditions which is on this approval is requiring an existing sound mitigation mound within the eastern part of the site to be protected from impacts associated with proposed use. I guess my question is, if the other part of this property that borders onto neighbours becomes an issue with that lack of gap, is there the ability to put a similar mitigation sound mitigation mound on that side of the dog park if it becomes an issue in the future?
Mr. Carmack-Sorkley.
Yes, there is. Yep. Quite easily.
Councillor Bain.
Great. I'm happy to go with the recommendation there.
Councillor Midgley, with a further question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Just in regards to the financial costs for this, so if you can just remind us again, and for to be on record, that the state government is paying...
Councillor Midgley, I'm reticent to stop you, but this is a planning authority matter assessing a development application. Yes. Questions about the funding are not really relevant.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Are there any further speakers in relation to this matter? Councillor Dean, don't wish to sum up? In that case, we'll put the recommended motion as shown on the screen and in the agenda. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. That motion is carried unanimously. With that, the Planning Authority adjourns and the open session of Council recommences at 6:10pm. Moving to page 88 of the agenda, item number 13, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Moving to item 14, petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Moving to officers' reports to Council, and item 15.1, the dog management policy proposed amendment. The recommendation for that motion being on page 91. Do I have a mover of that motion? Councillor Dean, a seconder in Councillor Antoli. Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor. The purpose of this report is to outline a proposed amendment to the endorsed dog management policy and commence the process to invite submissions and undertake consultation subject to the development that's currently occurring at Kingborough Sports Precinct. Before I go into it and go any further, let me just first acknowledge there's quite a bit of interest in this. Councillors have received a number of emails from residents of Bonnet Hill expressing their concerns with the proposal before us. So I just want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that they've informed the questions I'm going to ask at the end of my introduction, but I apologise to those that have sent emails for not getting back to all of you, and to also apologise for not getting to a meeting which staff held with the residents on Friday. But I do recognise that this, as all dog matters, seem to cause quite a bit of a stir in our community, that there are people with significant concerns about what is being proposed. But similarly, on the other side, there is the Southern Obedience Club, who we've made a commitment to as part of the Kingborough Sports Precinct development to ensure that they were relocated to a suitable location. So this is where we currently sit. And so just to point out that where we are now is really, as I want to make it absolutely clear, is at the start of a potential process. From my understanding and consultation with staff, this is not a done deal. This is an opportunity for residents to put their feedback to us and for that to be considered, and that will be very clearly I want to make it absolutely clear that it's not something that I believe has already been decided, but this is something that residents have the opportunity to feedback on. So I am not going to provide a huge summary because I think I've done enough in terms of introducing it, but just to begin my questions that I have. There is a little bit in terms of the engagement plan that's presented in the agenda at the end of the actual item in terms of the engagement so far with the Southern Obedience Club. But could I please just have a bit more information as to how we got to this point and what other options were explored by council staff leading up to now?
Mr. Kymansoglu.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Acting Mayor. So we investigated quite a few options over the last 24 months, really. We've been working with the club for quite some time. Some of the options we investigated, we started with Drew Point. It's probably a known location. We ran some issues through there with the land purchase. We looked at Huntingfield, sites in Huntingfield, which were prohibitive due to Aboriginal heritage concerns. We looked at the Christopher Johnson Memorial Park, the location and the size of the site and the current use of the site wasn't amenable to the having the dogs there as well. We looked at the adjoining the existing overflow car park at the sports precinct, but there's future plans for expansion of that car park, and then with the amount of additional users entering the sports precinct, it just looked like it was going to be quite a busy precinct, and parking and other bits and pieces are already at at capacity up there, so there was issues up there as well. And then we looked at the Lower Longley site as well, which looked favourable to start with, and then the Southern Beaches Club committee took that back to their members by way of a survey, and then I guess there was an overwhelming response that the site wasn't suitable for a number of reasons relating to distance from, I guess, from Kingston and where their members are, and the climate up the top of the hill there had some concerns about that as well.
Councillor Dean.
So 4.2 of the report talks about that this as being one site. If other sites do arise, would they be considered moving forward, or are we 100% set there cannot be any other options explored?
Mr. Kymats, I'll do.
Thank you. Now, we're continuing to look at other options as well. So, as you mentioned in your introduction, that this is a site that the club has identified as a preferred site that we've presented to date. However, we are continuing to work on other options in the background in case this one doesn't come to fruition.
Councillor Dane.
If it is deemed that this site is ultimately suitable, there's obviously been some initial planning in terms of location of puppy area, toilets, etc. But throughout the next three-week process where community members can provide a submission, is it open to change, or are we stuck with the proposal as is, as a yay or nay, or we have the ability to amend at the end of the period?
Mr. Kymats-Ogley.
Yeah, at the moment, as it stands, what we've presented to the residents and the club is just a conceptual plan of what can be achievable at the site. So looking at the size of the land and what infrastructure is required by the club, and then even the positioning of a public toilet, the positioning of that is still yet to be determined. So basically what we've looked at currently is what the requirements of the club are and what's actually feasible on the site. So it's not set in stone, that current plan as it stands.
Councillor Dean.
So, look, I'm hearing that there's definitely scope to amend if issues arise, but I do know that there's significant angst already, and we're generally at the start of this kind of consultation period. So if you don't mind, I do have a couple of questions around the site itself. One issue was raised just around the historical subdivision, and can I just clarify whether, as being proposed, that this wouldn't contravene any kind of titles or acts that sit over the top of this land, and the permitted use or the use of using it as a dog training area is something that can be permitted.
Mr. Kymats-Ogley.
The classification of the land is public open space, and this does not preclude the area from being used as a dog training area under the Act, as I understand it.
Councillor Dean.
So in the report it talks about there's going to be a three-week submission for members of the public to put in any feedback or concerns. What is the expected time frame following that we may have a bit more clarity on the process moving forward post that?
Mr. Kymats-Ogley.
Probably more of a question for our compliance team who deal with this part of the Dog Act. So my understanding is we'll go out for the consultation period. All the correspondence will come back, and then the team will compile the correspondence and then compile that into a report that goes back to council for consideration. So it's likely anywhere between 3 to 4 weeks after the closure of the consultation period.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you. You've already kind of touched on the toilet facility. One, you've answered that it may have the option to be adjusted or moved, but in terms of what that facility, without going into too much detail, but what kind of facility are we talking about? We've got a mix of different toilet facilities around the municipality. Are we talking single cubicle, double cubicle, and how will the waste be managed?
Mr. Kymats, I believe.
Yeah, the current plan would be to relocate the existing single toilet from the mountain bike park, which has to be removed as part of the construction of the new oval up there.
Councillor Dean.
Then there were concerns around the impact that the user group that would come in terms of obviously car park and traffic. So would there need to be a traffic impact assessment done as part of any future development?
Mr. Kymats-Ogley.
Yes, as part of the next stages of work, if it is declared an offload area and we continue to progress the project, the next stage would be develop an application, and through that stage of works, we would require a traffic impact assessment as part of that.
Councillor Dean.
Also, just in relation to the report talking about there would be, I say, one day of protected use for the club, how's that going to work in practice? Is that something that is like a guarantee, like we've guaranteed one day? Is it always a week then? Could it be two half days? Is it weekdays? Is that subject to change? Could you just talk me through in practice how that might look like?
Mr. Kymatsoglu.
Yeah, so the feedback we received from the Southern Obedience Club, that they operate on Sundays for their training. So the proposal would be for them to continue to operate on a Sunday for, I guess, exclusive use of that land or the section of the land for their training days only, and then it would be open to the public as it is now for the rest of the time.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you. I think I've just got one more. Apologies to ask so many questions, but just in relation to one, a couple of people actually have raised the fact that the site is used as an evacuation point to bushfire, and anyone growing up in that, well, having grown up in Taroona, I am familiar with the fires that occurred in the 90s, and just to the fact around that this is obviously going to be a change to the site, would that impact those residents in the case of bushfire in terms of being an evacuation point?
Mr. Kymatsoglu.
Yeah, I mean, the site as it stands now is not a designated emergency assembly point, but the proposed declaration and the proposed conceptual plan as it stands now would not preclude this area from being used in the event of an emergency. And if emergency services needed access to the site during an emergency, even if it was on a Sunday and the club was active, obviously that would take precedence.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for my indulgence for letting me ask so many questions, and thanks again to members of the community who have helped shape those questions. Look, I'm very comfortable with the process in terms of allowing members of the public to give their feedback now over those 3 weeks, and I'm reassured that this is not a done deal and that our staff are open to adjusting this as necessary, and I welcome all those to provide their feedback as necessary, but otherwise I'm happy to move the report. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. I just want to dig into the process a little bit, if I may. The background is quite helpfully steps out the timeline from all the way back from 2023, and we've also heard that there's been a number of other sites that have been assessed. And as we heard from Councillor Dean, one of the main concerns from residents is the fact that this is perceived as a foregone conclusion. So my question really is around the process. Going back to 2023, the sites that we've explored, none of those explorations have required an adjustment to the dog management policy. So why does this exploration require an adjustment to the policy?
Mr. Smee.
Council needs to declare, in accordance with both its dog management policy and the Dog Control Act, a training area. And now that would stand irrespective of which site we chose, and councillors may recall that we did advertise our intent to declare the Drew Point site as a training area. We went through that process for Drew Point. We didn't need to go through it for Longley because it was already a declared area under our existing dog management policy. But in essence, any site that is selected as a proposed training area for the Southern Obedience Club would need to go through the same process.
Councillor Richardson.
Okay, so does that mean that we are precluded from engaging in community consultation without amending this policy and passing this motion?
Mr. Smee.
No, council could do a consultation outside of the formal process prescribed by the Act, but there would be a requirement to go through the exact process as dictated to by the Act.
Councillor Richardson.
Okay, so that would be, we could do this following that consultation, following those further explorations around the planning requirements and the like, we could go through this process after that?
Mr. Smith.
Yes, that is correct. Council can undertake whatever engagement process it sees fit, providing that we do go through the process prescribed by the Act. But additional engagement, adjunct engagement is quite possible. I suppose my only comment would be that there is some need to move on this, given that the current site within the Kingborough Sports Precinct will become off limits to the Dog Obedience Club in the near future.
Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. Okay, that's great. I appreciate the information. One of the things that makes my ears prick up a little bit with this process as it currently stands, and the fact that we don't have to go through an amendment to the dog policy, specifically in the engagement plan, there's what, 5 steps there in the engagement plan. Step 4 is the council would consider any submissions as a result of the consultation before making a decision. And then step 5 is pass a resolution to endorse the exercise and training area. So I can kind of understand a little bit how the residents in the area are feeling a little uneasy about the process that we are proposing here. So I guess based on that, and given that deferring this matter will not, I'm hearing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, will not hold up the process of moving forward, but will give the residents some comfort that the due process is being undertaken, and I might need some advice on how we do this. How would I go about moving to defer?
You would move to defer, Councillor Richardson. Sorry, I don't mean to be trite, but it is genuinely that simple.
So, may I move to defer?
You may, if you've got a seconder for that motion. Seconder in Councillor Fox. It's a procedural motion, so it does take precedence over other motions, and I will put the motion. The motion from Councillor Richardson is that the matter be deferred. All those of that opinion, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. A show of hands is required. All those in favour of the motion to defer? Councillors Antoli, Fox, Bain, Midgley and Richardson. All those against? Councillors Dean and Street. The motion to defer is carried. Moving on to item 15.2, the information disclosure policy. The recommendation is on page 98. Do I have a mover that council adopt the information disclosure policy 3.23 as attached to the report? We've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Bain. Councillor Fox.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to present the information disclosure policy. As attached to this report, there are very little changes to the existing policy other than the date or the website I can find. So I recommend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Are there any further speakers on this motion? No, there being no further speakers on the motion, I will put the motion that council adopt the information disclosure policy 3.23 as attached to the report. All those in favour, please say aye. To the contrary, no. That motion's carried unanimously. Moving on to page 104, item 15.3, Oval Lease Kingborough Sports Precinct, with the recommended motion on page 105 of the agenda. Catching up with myself. Do I have a mover of the recommended motion? Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Bain. Councillor Fox.
I just want to point out that we have received an email from Mr. Smee, and there is an additional clause that's to be added to this pursuant to Section 178.
It is indeed. So you've moved the recommended motion, Councillor Fox. Mr. Stewart, any help on how we deal with that?
Can the mover and seconder withdraw their
their movement of the motion.
I think we can, can't they? Or with their consent.
Is there someone with the alternative wording who could move an amendment? Thank you, Councillor Dane.
I did have it in front of me. Yep, sorry. I've got it, that's fine. Thank you. So I'm just going to move the amendment. The recommendation stands pursuant to Section 178 of the Local Government Act 1993. Or should you have?
Yep.
Yep. I'll just keep reading because I'm sure you'll copy it up there in a second. Council, by absolute majority, resolves to dispose of public land being the Twin Ovals AFL ground at 10 Kingston View Drive, Kingston, in certificate of title volume 164078, folio 2, by means of a long-term lease to the Tasmanian Devils Football Club.
Is that amendment acceptable to the mover and seconder of the motion? Thank you. The amended motion becomes the substantive motion, and I'll come back to Councillor Fox as the mover. Do you have any further comment in relation to the motion?
No, other than this has been a very long-term process, but I think it's formalisation of a situation that we all welcome, and I recommend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So just a few points to point out, I guess, is that Council has advertised their intent to lease this land and received no objections to the proposed lease. The arrangement was part of our bid to secure the Tasmanian Devils Training Administration Centre, which is going to deliver some excellent outcomes for our community. And then around the funding arrangements and the support, the cost of the development of the oval to meet the specifications required by the Devils is being met by the State Government and the AFL. The Devils will be responsible for all outgoings associated with the use of the oval, including maintenance costs. And the proposal is for a Pepcorn rental. However, the Devils Football Club would be required to pay full rates applicable to the property as part of the lease agreements. So I just have one question here, which is probably an obvious one. Given we're proposing to lease this to the Devils, the Tigers Football Club currently use this oval. So the question is, in relation to the oval lease, what plans are in place around where the existing tenants, the Tigers Football Club, will be playing between the Devils taking on the lease and the new ovals being ready for use?
Mr. Kymatsoglu.
Thank you for your question. We've been in discussions with the Tigers about their 2027 season. They've expressed an interest in playing at Snug Oval, and we've reached out to the Channel Football Club to start early discussions, which have been favourable to date. If that doesn't eventuate, we still have Twin Oval 2 as an option for the club for their games for 2027, and we'll have to look probably a little bit more extensively around the precinct, around the area, about their accommodating their training from juniors right through to seniors. But we're working on that with the club at the moment.
Councillor Bain.
And just a follow-up question then. So I gather from that both the Tigers Football Club and the Knights Cricket Club are both comfortable with where these arrangements are heading?
Mr. Kymatsoglu.
Yeah, so we've had similar conversations with the Knights as well about the interim arrangement with the Devils moving in September 2027 in preparation for their 2028 season, and the Knights are also comfortable with the proposal.
Councillor Bain.
Fantastic. On that basis, I'm very happy to support the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Dane.
Thanks, Mayor. I just wanted to ask a question. For those that weren't privy to why there was an amendment moved by me at the start of this, could I just have an explanation as to why the wording has changed from staff, please?
Mr. Comments or me? Or no, Mr. Smith, thank you.
Thank you. We received some legal advice today, just that the wording just needed to be tidied up, made a bit more legalistic. So we've accepted that advice.
Councillor Dane.
Thanks. Councillor Bain's done a great job of highlighting the report, so I've got nothing to add. Thanks.
Thank you. I have a query just in relation to the plans that have been produced with the agenda. I was a little bit confused by them, so I suspect some people, some others were as well. Can I just confirm that The only piece of land within the scope of this motion is the oval itself, and not the pavilion, just noting that the pavilion is outlined in black also. Mr. Stewart.
That's correct. So it's the oval itself, and the pavilion is not included within the scope of this.
Excellent. Thank you. Look, that being the case, for my part, it's great to see that this is finally drawing to fruition. We've been on a long journey in relation to this development, and the lease to the Devils, and I fully support the recommended motion. Are there any further speakers in relation to the motion? That being the case, Councillor Fox, to sum up. Thank you. I put the recommended motion as amended, which is on the screen, the pursuant to Section 17 or 178 of the Local Government Act 1993, Council by absolute majority resolves to dispose of public land, being the Twin Ovals AFL ground at 10 Kingston View Drive, Kingston, in Certificate of Title, Volume 164078, Folio 2, by means of a long-term lease to the Tasmanian Devils Football Club. All those of that opinion, please say aye.
Aye.
And to the contrary, no. That motion's carried unanimously. Moving to page 107, item 15.4, petition for curbside collection service in Leslievale, with the recommended motion on page 110. Do I have a mover of the recommended motion? Councillor Midgley. Do I have a seconder of the recommended motion? Councillor Antoli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, so we have a petition for the curbside collection in Leslievale. It's the second time that it has come to us at Council to ensure that all residents have had a say. There has been various responses, as we can see, in regards to the survey from the residents. The majority voted against it just slightly, but there was a large number of people who actually would like to have a curbside collection service. People were letterboxed, and there was promotion on the Leslievale Community Group. I'm moving this, I guess, to look at how we can reach a resolution, not necessarily supporting the recommendation presented. And I know we've had a bit of a discussion as councillors as to how we can move that forward, because I think that it's hard to make a decision on such a minor number of people that have said, you know, the discrepancy between the yeses and noes, you know, is very minor in between. I know there's a lot of passionate people who would really like to have this. A lot of families who would make it really convenient for them to live with curbside collection. So I guess I just want to open the ideas to the floor to see what sort of compromise I guess we can look at moving forward to perhaps, see how we can compromise in making a decision to this. So I'll put this to the rest of the councillors and see what they have to say.
Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Any further speakers in relation to this? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I have some questions. So we have a very narrow opposition, 32 oppose, 28 support, and a huge number of non-responses. I'm assuming if five people from the non-responses had said yes, it would be in the yes's favour by 1 point. So it's really line ball here. What are the options of the residents to get a private Veolia waste disposal service, and what typically is the cost to an average resident per annum to have their waste disposed privately through Veolia? Does anyone know? Given we have a contract with Veolia, do they treat our residents, give them some sort of preferred pricing?
I imagine we don't know the answer to that question, but Mr. Mackey?
We wouldn't know the answer to that, but the answer to the second part of that is no, I don't think they'd give any preferential treatment or rates to a resident based on having a contract with Kingborough Council.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. And may we provide some information? Can we approach, I mean, to me, a civilised suburb of Kingborough should have its waste disposed of. I would like to suggest that Leslievale is a civilised suburb of Kingborough. And I just think it's crazy that we don't offer a waste service. I acknowledge that there's a small number, it's a small percentage in favour of opposition. without wanting to go into weird double negatives, in favour of opposition. We should just have a blanket policy. You're in. You live in Kingborough, unless you live out up Cathedral Rock Road somewhere where it's way too high up, you're going to get collection service. We're going to treat you like everybody else. You're just as important as the person who lives in Blackmans Bay. So why do we not? Why is this even an issue? Why don't we just have a blanket policy? What's this all about? Because typically the ratepayer is going to pay for the service anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mackey.
Good question. I think the challenge for us is there's, like as we can see in this petition, we've gone out twice now. So one, it's difficult to reach every member of the community and get them to respond. But there's equal, what we've seen here is there's equal opposition and I guess some passionate responses about why people wouldn't want curbside collection and having to pay for that service because they've got other means of which they remove their rubbish from their place. They've also indicated scenarios where they've got very long driveways and would see it as actually inconvenient and also identified this place as they don't have a safe place to put their bins. So I think it's a challenging one. It's something that council could consider. The current situation is that it's a majority rules. That's the current process that we apply. So we go out for survey, and if the majority supports the collection, we will recommend it. And conversely, if the majority rejects it, we will reject that service. We don't have the option of an opt-in, opt-out as part of our rates resolution, is part of the other challenge. So that's the current process that we use today.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. I mean, I think that's a fair answer. I'm actually surprised that we vote on something. I don't know whether they vote on this in other LGAs with a semi-rural population or not. I used to own a property in Ellendale, which is out Whoopsville, and on a farm, and I didn't own it personally. I was in charge of it under a Corporations Act ruling, and it was not 198 acres, and it had a bin service collected on the road by Midlands Council, God bless them, and everyone did it, all the farmers did it. So I just feel like it's just normal civilization. Can we instead talk to Veolia and say, look, we have a X number of residents, what's the price you guys can do for them? I'm sure the same would apply for people in Kettering. Same sort of situation. Can we do that to facilitate some sort of private collection service that they are entitled to, that Veolia does offer, and give them some answers so they're not treated like some person trying to deal with a major corporation and be charged a mozza?
Mr. Mackey? Or Mr. Stewart?
Yeah.
It's always an option to undertake things like that. I would suggest, though, that it wouldn't be a great option for council to pursue. Council undertakes waste collection and disposal on a cost recovery basis. So these communities at the moment don't have the bin costs in their rates bill. And I guess the trade-off there is they have the option of taking their waste to Beretta to be able to dispose of it through the waste transfer station. So that's how it operates at the moment. So I guess picking up your point, we have mixed views from the community about what they want to undertake here. I think if we began inserting ourselves within private waste collection negotiations, that would sort of be operating outside of council's remit. We undertake municipal waste collection, and that's the service that we offer. This is the process that we go through to try and determine whether the majority of the community are interested in that service, and if they are, then we implement that across that that subset of our community. Additionally, the municipal waste collection will be at a more advantageous rate than a private waste collection will be, because it's part of an overall run that the contractor will be doing on behalf of council. It won't be a dedicated trip that needs to be taken just to collect a specific set of waste. So I would suggest that if the community wanted waste collection, the municipal collection would be cheaper in this case, because the vendor wouldn't have to be driving I guess, out of their way to the specific community. So that's a long way of saying, I guess, anything is possible, but I would suggest, A, it's not council's role to negotiate private waste collection, and secondly, the end result of it, I think, would be not cost-effective for the community. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'd like to challenge your the premise of your answer by simply saying, I'm not asking you to get involved in private negotiations. I'm asking you to help facilitate a link. Let them negotiate. But basically say to Veolia, look, we've got some business for you. Extra business. Yes, it's a bit out of your run, but let's face it, they're everywhere. Veolia's everywhere here. They should be treating us well. We are giving them a lot of money per annum through what we do. Can we at least be somewhat of a help, rather than saying no, and we have a policy where we try not to say no in planning, we try and say no, but let's see if we can help you this way. Can we apply the same customer engagement concept to this particular issue that we can actually do for people in Kettering and all the way down the channel? It's just simply contacting Veolia, can you help our people out? Can we give you their details? Can we advertise who to speak to within Veolia to get some sort of a deal? And then we've done something. And then adjunct to that, I think we need to work out our waste collection policy that says when a locality is of a certain size, you get waste. That's it. No votes. You're a civilised community. We'll treat you as one. So I have two questions.
Councillor Antoli. If you could just put them again.
Can we, rather than negotiate and interfere with the negotiations, A, can we contact Veolia, explain the situation and ask them to provide these people a solution or a contact number? That's A.
Mr. Stewart.
We can reach out to Veolia and ask them if they would like us to pass on their contact details to these members of the community. Absolutely. Fantastic. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. And B was, what are we going to do about this policy that we were told some council meetings ago that we probably do need to formalise a policy that says when you reach a certain locality size, you get waste disposal?
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah. Happy to look at, I guess, the underlying philosophy that we have here around how we do this. Council has seen that a survey of the community is a fair way to, I guess, undertake some engagement around whether the community wants the service or not, given that there are alternatives in terms of taking waste to the waste transfer station and undertaking other things such as green waste and whatnot on property as, you know, composting and other options there. So we can certainly consider it, but I think, you know, It will take some time, and we have a community that I think that's looking for a response from council to this issue at the moment.
Councillor Antoli.
What I might do is just look into this in more detail offline with Acting Mayor about the policy and how it should work. We clearly don't. We've made a decision for Margate. We've made a decision for other areas snug. We made a policy decision with them, Blackmans Bay. We need to, I think, get a little bit more scientific and refined, but thanks for taking the questions and keen to hear what others have to say.
Are there any further speakers? Councillor Fox.
I guess I'm going to foreshadow that if this motion is lost, then I would move the opposite motion. I feel that we have a good service in this area. And by extending the service, it's making the service that we provide more viable because more people are participating. So we'll get more income towards this existing service. If you add up the number of people who were surveyed and didn't respond, that's 22 plus 28 people who said they would like it. That makes 58 people who haven't said no. There's only 32 who said no. So I feel that we are in a position, even mathematically, to say, let's go ahead with this and even consider extending the service beyond these houses that have been surveyed to make our own service more viable. So I foreshadow, I will move the motion to take out the no and put in a yes.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just going to speak along similar lines to Councillor Anatoly and Councillor Fox. I see this as, you know, our policy says that we could offer curbside collection where the service integrates with our current serviced area, can be delivered economically, and the service contractor can service the area. I think that should essentially be our default position, because Kingborough's changing. We've got young families moving further out to these areas and they want these services. And here we've got an example where, as Councillor Fox said, we've got over 50% who are either for it or haven't responded. So I agree with Councillor Fox, and I foreshadow that I'd also be moving an alternative motion to say the opposite if this one fails.
Okay. Councillor Dane.
Look, just from me, very similar sentiment. I think we should be extending it unless significant opposition, and I don't see significant opposition. I also see other parts of the municipality, Bonnet Hill, good example, discussed tonight, where there are significantly long driveways, significantly steep driveways. The service exists there. Those challenges are overcome one way or another. And if it's not possible for those residents, whether they're elderly or have certain conditions that preclude them from getting their bins to where they need to be, we do offer an additional service to support those people. So I just am not convinced by the recommendation that we should not be doing it, and I would like us to see a little bit more investigation done into 4.8.3 of the report, where it talks about the potential to extend to a section of Mackenzie's Road. It says a suitable area to turn a truck has been identified. It is approximately 1.43 kilometres from the Leslie Road intersection, directly parallel to the highway. This area, with some road widening and a suitable road base being laid, would be suitable for a truck to turn around. So that, I believe, would give us an additional 16 properties, which we have not spoken to, the option very reasonably to be able to extend it beyond what is currently being surveyed. So my first thoughts are, I'd like to hear from those 16 households. I'd like to hear how much it would cost to extend that widening to be able to have the truck turn around. But at a bare minimum, I'll be happy to support it as is and wait to hear back from staff in terms of doing a bit extra digging on that road. So I'm happy to hear other people. If not, I'll move an amendment otherwise. Thank you, Mayor.
Are there any further speakers? Councillor Anatoly.
So I've just heard a couple. Thank you, Acting Mayor. I've just heard a couple of people say that if this fails, I'm going to propose an amendment that it pass. Can you explain how that works?
Well, so there are two options here. There can either be an amendment moved to the motion that's currently before us. Alternatively, if the motion is lost, there is an opportunity to move an alternate motion at that point. Yes. So they're the options. Are there any further speakers in relation to this motion? If not, I might just put on record my view, not that that precludes anybody from moving afterwards. Fully accept much of what's been said around the table this evening. The polling and surveying of residents in these matters is a blunt instrument, and it's useful when there is an overwhelming vote for or against one of these extensions. It's not particularly useful in circumstances that we find ourselves in here, where the vote is very tight or there are significant numbers of non-responses. I'm of the view that in those circumstances we need to fall back on consideration of other matters, whether we think it's a good idea for the area to have waste collection services, whether there are other good reasons for that to be the case, the growth in Leslie Vale being one of those reasons, change in demographic in the area being another good reason, in my view. And I do agree with the sentiment, Councillor Anatoly, that at some stage we simply say an area needs waste services and it should receive them. And regardless of whether there is a desire when We're not going out to poll the residents of Kingston Beach to find out whether they want their ongoing waste services. It's just a given that for public health reasons, chiefly amongst others, they should receive waste services. So I'm certainly partial to the idea that this motion should be altered or an alternative motion put. So I simply ask the question, are there any further contributions, motions, or do we want to hear from Councillor Midgley to sum up and then put the motion? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. I am curious to hear an amendment, if there is one to be put forward. If not, I'm happy to put it and we vote on it and then...
I think that's where we're heading, Councillor Midgley.
Okay. Did you want to...
No.
Oh.
Okay. On that basis, I will put the motion that Council does not extend the curbside collection service to the Leslie Vale area surveyed. All those in favour, please say aye. To the contrary, no. It is unanimously not carried. I've never seen that happen before, so I don't actually know what the term is. Unanimously rejected, I suppose. Is there an alternative motion? Do you want to fight it out between the two of you? Councillor Bain, I'm going to pick one of you, Councillor Bain.
Okay, I've actually provided the alternative motion, so if we could put it up on the board, that might be good.
I think he might have been one step ahead of you, Councillor Fox.
Yeah. Would you like me to read it out in the meantime?
If you would, yep, please. Sure.
Yeah, so the alternative motion is that Council extend the curbside collection service to the Leslie Vale area surveyed. And the second part of it is the Council include curbside collection for Mackenzie's Road as outlined in 4.8.3 of this report, subject to a scope of works being completed for the track turning circle and available budget funding.
So that's the motion as put by Councillor Bain. Is there a seconder?
I'll second it, but I couldn't actually hear what Councillor Bain was saying, and it's not on the screen yet.
I think it would be good for all of us to perhaps just wait for it to come up on the screen. Councillor Fox, sorry to put the pressure on Ms Jones. Councillor Fox, are you seconding that motion?
Yes.
Okay, so the motion is moved by Councillor Bain, seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Bain.
Thank you. I think we've already covered off on point one, but as Councillor Dean said, I think we've got the Mackenzie's Road. A little bit of further work needs to be investigated there and how much we're going to need to spend to enable that turning circle to happen. So I think it's important we say that we're happy with that, providing the scope of works is done and it's within available budget funding, so then the work can continue if those items are ticked off. So that's why I put that second point in there.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Antolli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Appreciate you talking about the hygiene aspect. That's really important. Young families, so important, and I would like to say if this is successful, which I suspect it will be, welcome to Leslie Vale, to the civilisation of Kingborough. We're glad you've joined us. We're sorry it's taken us this long. You won't know yourselves that you don't have to throw rubbish in the back of your car, watch it leak in your boot as you drive all the way down to the waste service down at Beretta. God bless the people there. Pay your $11 or so dollars every single time. You can just throw it in the bin. And if you have a long driveway, just like those in Howden do, just leave the bin at the end of the driveway. You don't have to carry it all the way back, but you won't know yourselves, and I think this is a great outcome. Thank you, Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Councillor Rantoli. Are there any further speakers on this motion? There being no further speakers, Councillor Bain, do you wish to sum up? No. I'll put the motion. It is an alternate motion that Council 1, extend the curbside collection service to the Leslie Vale Area Survey. 2, include curbside collection for Mackenzie's Road as outlined in 4.8.3 of this report, subject to a scope of works being completed for the truck turning circle and available budget funding. The motion is moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. It's carried unanimously. Moving to page 111 and item 14.5, appointment to Council Special Committees. Could I have a mover, please, that we move to discuss? Councillor Rantoli moved and seconded Councillor Midgley. Do I need to put the motion to discuss, Mr. Smee? I do. I put the motion to discuss. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. So we're in discussion. I would like to just kick off the discussion. I would be pleased to accept nominations to the Taswater Owners Representative Group and the Copping Refuse Site Joint Disposal Authority and Copping Sea Cell. The other note that I make is with respect to the Kingborough Municipal Emergency Planning Committee. Previously, it's been the case that Mayor Reet chaired that committee. I think in making a decision about who to appoint to that committee, we need to give some consideration to what the Mayor's role is in circumstances of an emergency, and that is primarily as a communicator. That is really their only role. It is a conduit with the community in an emergency situation. The Mayor doesn't have a strategic or operational role in an emergency situation. And in discussions with the CEO, I wonder whether there's no requirement for that committee to be chaired by a councillor. It can be a councillor or a staff member. Given councillors and particularly the Mayor, given the Mayor and all councillors don't have that operational and strategic role in the event of an emergency management situation, I'm of the view that the chairing of that committee sits better with the CEO than any of us. So I'd seek your support to have Mr. Stewart appointed to that role if he so accepts. Okay. But happy to hear from anybody else around the table in relation to positions that they wish to nominate for. Councillor Rantoli.
So the only one that even attracted my interest was the emergency management one, but I was not aware it was to chair it. Is that what that slot
is
for?
It is to chair it, Councillor Rantoli, yes.
Yeah, I don't have that capacity, so I'm more than happy to go with your recommendation.
I think it's worth making the point that there's nothing stopping councillors from attending those meetings as observers. Are there any further speakers on the discussion? Does anybody wish to indicate that they would like to be appointed to the chair of the Disability Inclusion and Access Advisory Committee? Councillor Fox, you wish to be considered for appointment as chair of that committee?
Yes, I do. I am the current deputy, so that role would then become vacant, but I have been chairing it in Councillor Amir Reet's absence quite a lot, and I'm quite familiar with the characters and the processes that we're dealing with.
Is there anybody else that wants to nominate for chair of that committee? If not, then we might, because Councillor Fox is currently the deputy chair, we're filling one gap but creating another one. So is there anybody that would like to nominate? If we nominate Councillor Fox for the chair's position, is there somebody who would like to nominate for the deputy chair's position? Councillor Midgley? Is there anybody else that would like to nominate for the vacated deputy chair's position? No. If Mr. Smees followed what I've just done there, then...
Just to be clear, at the start you talked about copying refuse. You're going to take over from there, but given Councillor Cotter's not here, there's no change to that. He's still going
there's
to be...
There's no change to that proxy position, no. And I should say, I'm nominating for those positions, but if somebody would like to fight me for them, they're welcome to.
I want to roll him for his spot, but just want to make sure while he's not here, that he's not going to be shafted, and
no,
he's still got his spot.
No. Okay. So can I have a mover that we move out of discussion, please? Councillor Rantoli moves that we move out of discussion. Seconded Councillor Bain. I put that procedural motion. All those in favour, please say aye. To the contrary, no. That's carried unanimously. Can I have a mover for the updated motion on the screen, which is as follows. The council resolve to appoint councillors to special committees of council and external organisations as follows. A, Taswater owners representative, myself, acting Mayor Councillor Street. B, Copping Refuge Site Joint Disposal Authority and Copping C-Cell, myself, acting Mayor Councillor Street. C, Disability Inclusion and Access Advisory Committee Chair, Councillor Fox. Did we stick it in after C? Or sorry, Ms. Jones, can I just get you to scroll down for me for a second? Thank you. Yep, sorry. And as part of C, the deputy chair of that committee, we resolved to appoint Councillor Midgley. And D, Kingborough Municipal Emergency Management Committee, we resolve to appoint the CEO. Can I have a mover for that motion, please? Moved Councillor Bain, seconded. Councillor Richardson. Councillor Bain, any comment in relation to that? Any other comment from any other councillor? I'll put the motion. As just stated, all those in favour, please say aye. To the contrary, no. It's carried unanimously. Moving on to page 113, item 14.6, the appendices. Can I have a mover, please, that the appendices be accepted? Councillor Midgley moves. Councillor Fox seconds. Councillor Midgley.
Nothing to state, just to move that.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Any questions, queries, doubtful points, comments? That being the case, I put the motion that the appendices attached to the agenda be received and noted. All those with that opinion, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. That motion is carried unanimously. Moving to page 113, item 16.1. Councillor Bain has submitted a notice of motion headed Sandfly Road, Channel Highway, Intersection and Margate Active Transport Improvements. And there is also an officer's response from Mr. Mackey. Could I please have, or Councillor Bain, you move the motion. Is there a second to Councillor Bain's motion? I think I saw Councillor Fox first. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So the focus of this motion is on several unresolved issues identified in the Tasmanian Government's 2020 Channel Highway Corridor Study. Studies such as these are really valuable, and credit to the government for undertaking it, but the risk of these reports are the recommendations don't progress, which is what I believe has occurred in this case. So the four areas I've identified are the Sandfly Road Channel Highway intersection, the pedestrian cyclist bridge across Northwest Bay River, pedestrian crossings within Margate CBD, and then a shared pathway between the Margate train and Margate CBD. So the Sandfly Road and Channel Highway intersection is at the centre of this motion. In the corridor study 6 years ago, this intersection was assessed as saturated and not operating as required. It mentioned extensive delays at Sandfly Road, particularly for right-turning traffic, and it had a documented history of crashes. Since then, we've seen a traffic increase of approximately 12%, heavy vehicle usage doubling from 7% to 14%, and population growth in the area of around 8%. So clearly, if the intersection was assessed as not operating as required in 2020, I'm not sure what the assessment would come back at now after all this growth. What we've also seen since the corridor study came out is the Tasmanian government encouraging residential growth in Margate by expanding the urban growth boundary. Through this, encouraging the development of a very large subdivision on the fringe of Margate, which of course is good. I think most people would like to see more houses being built. We've also seen private investment in infill residential developments within Margate has been occurring, shopping centres being built, childcare and major supermarket chain proposals in the winds. So we're seeing a lot of private investment going towards growing Margate and encouragement from the government to do so. But what we're not seeing is the investment in government infrastructure to support this growth. So the first step in achieving this is what this motion's about. State growth, working with council to identify what the preferred solutions to some of these issues are, and then completing the detailed designs. I believe without the solutions and detailed designs completed, it's near impossible to secure funding for the works. In my eyes, it's a bit like going to the bank, asking for a loan to build a house, without being able to tell the bank what the house looks like, where you're going to build it, how much it's going to cost. It just doesn't work that way. There's been very few recommendations from this corridor study delivered since it was released in 2020. We know the state government's budget is tight at the moment, but as I've outlined in the report in the paper, there's plenty of examples where similar projects have been funded. The message from government to us has always been they want to see evidence-based project proposals supporting residential growth, and I believe this work absolutely ticks all those boxes. So we've got evidence from the state government's own report, and by doing the design work across all these projects, we're taking a big picture view of this area and future-proofing for the growth that we know is coming. So on that, I look forward to hearing others' contributions, and I encourage everyone to support it.
Ready for the Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I think from my humble point of view, as a person that lives in Margate and traipses through that corridor several times a day, it's a no-brainer to support this. But allow me to use a brain for a moment in support. Since the 2020 Channel Highway study was flagged, in 6 years there's only been a speed limit cut and minor clearing has been delivered. I think it needs a good vitamin C shot in the arm. Meanwhile, traffic is up 12%. I think that's incredibly conservative. We've had 12 crashes in 5 years. There was one right there at the Sandfly intersection about 2 weeks ago. And that saw the entire stretch of road banked up all the way to Snug, and then because everyone likes to rubberneck, banked up all the way to the fork in the road. It went both ways. It was shocking. And other corridors up north, like West Tamar and the Bass Highway, they always get the attraction because they are swing electorates. But Margate and Channel deserve the same affection from the state government. And I think joining forces with them and council needs their support to effect this change because it is constraining us and it's frustrating us. And I hope that it leads to that shared pathway that we need between Margate and at least Huntingfield, which we all know you try and go across that bridge there at North West Bay, you take your life in your hands. So I think the motion simply asks the state to partner with council to provide what the residents deserve. I think it's sensible, evidence-based, and it supports our master plan, so I commend it to council likewise, and I thank Councillor Bain for putting it forward and happy to vote in favour.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, thanks, Councillor Bain, for putting forward this motion. It really is an important one, and as we've heard about how long ago the study was done, and thanks, Councillor Antoli, for pointing out the little bits that have happened as part of this Channel Highway Corridor study have been completed. We really need to, get some wheels on this to move things forward. It also, correlates with the motion that we passed as well in regards to the off-road shared pathway. We recognise that it is a really important infrastructure project. And so before the Mayor finished her time with us, I advocated that we had a meeting with Minister Vincent And noted that he was very busy with lots of other things going on, but we did have a really great meeting with the Chief of Staff and really put that on the radar. And I'm wondering if anyone would like to, the staff in attendance or the Acting Mayor would like to comment in regards to that meeting and perhaps what was shared.
Mr. Stewart. Yeah, thank you. So, yes, we did have a good conversation with the Minister's Chief of Staff in which we, I guess, outlined Council's strong advocacy in terms of both the active transport connections and the Margate to Huntingfield shared path, but also the wider considerations around transport in that corridor. The fact that there has been considerable growth within Margate and further down the Channel area and the transport infrastructure, especially through that piece, has not grown in order to, I guess, support and sustain that growth. It was an initial conversation with the Minister's representative, but they certainly sounded like it was something that from the Minister's office perspective, they would be prepared to look at through time. Obviously, they need to have the case stack up, so more work in the space would be advantageous. Since that meeting, I've also had the Deputy Secretary at State Growth, who's responsible for roads and travel, and so they has reached out to me, and we're having a meeting next week, I believe, to talk further about this as well.
Councillor Midgley. Are there any further speakers on this motion? Councillor Dean.
Look, only it would be, I'd be uncomfortable to sit here and not support what's been such a well thought out and well structured notice of motion. There's not really much more to add. It's argued really well. I think from what we've just heard from the CEO, there's obviously positive developments, and if you meet with the DEPSEC and there's some progression there, fantastic. But the case has been made by our own government 6 years ago. And as Councillor Antolis pointed out, very little apart from some reduction in speed has actually changed, but nothing's improved. It's still, we've got more cars going down the Channel Highway. We've got more people wanting to use e-bikes and use alternative transport options than ever before. So the evidence base is there. They've unfortunately forgotten us, as Councillor Antolis pointed out, and in favour of perhaps the north and northwest. But I do hope that the next that this letter that we send to offer partnership is well received, and next week's meeting with the DEPSEC goes well, and we actually get something committed to. It would just be fantastic to see some progress, because it is just sat there and got nowhere, which is an embarrassment, really, for the fact that we have 10% of the population living south of Hobart, and a big chunk of that is down the channel, and nothing happens. So it's a shame on the state government for a long period of time, but as councillors, obviously, our hands are tied. We do not have the funds or the remit to go about doing all the work that they've highlighted, so I would love to see a positive reception of this, and fantastic work by Councillor Bain to remind us all that there are lots of priorities out there in the municipality that we'd like to progress, and sometimes they do go a bit forgotten, but thank you to Councillor Bain for reminding us and formalising this in an offer of partnership with the state government, so I do hope that we get something out of it in coming weeks. So thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Fox.
Attend a meeting recently at the river there, at the bridge, and quite a number of residents were turned up and were invited, but a lot of the comments that came from those residents was that they want to be able to walk from Margate to the train, and the bridge is so dangerous for them to walk across, but also there's a lot of bike riders. With the petrol shortages at the moment, they want to be able to commute to Kingston from Margate or vice versa, or even recreational users. There are a lot more people who want to ride their bikes because of the petrol shortage or walk. And the other issue is with this particular area that the bridge links the Northwest Bay River track, which we've just opened. People would like to be able to recreate in this area. They don't always want to drive to a recreational location. They want to be able to ride their bikes or walk, but it's impossible because of this bridge. And the population and the amount of tourists going to Bruny Island, they all come across this route. They come through Margate. It is becoming really dangerous to even cross the road to get from one side of the road in Margate to the other. You see people standing by the side of the roundabout waiting to cross. There's no reason, that legal reason, for cars to have to stop at the roundabouts. And the people just wait and wait for sometimes 10 minutes to get a gap in the traffic. It's just becoming a nightmare. And the government has saved a lot of money by not putting in a bypass, which council in the early 90s allowed for. We had a large swathe of land that went in a bypass route behind the shopping centre and connected in the Meredith area. And the state government decided no, they weren't going to build that bypass. They rezoned the land to residential, and it's now occupied by houses, so that opportunity is lost. But the state government has saved themselves a lot of money by not building that bypass. So I think they owe the Margate community and the Kingborough community to upgrade that road, to do something about that bridge, and to be making that whole area more pedestrian and cycling friendly. And I think that is a major issue for this council. So I thoroughly support the motion, and I'm really pleased that Councillor Bain has raised it. And take my word for it, everything in local government doesn't happen in a hurry. 5 years is nothing. We have to keep working on this. It'll probably take another 5 years, but if we don't keep reminding them and don't keep trying, it won't happen. If we do try and keep working on it, it will happen. Thank you.
Any further speakers on the motion? For my part, Councillor Bain, thank you for raising this notice of motion. It is an important issue. It highlights, in my view, something of a broader issue for Council to address in terms of listing our strategic priorities and knowing what they are when the opportunity arises. That's not to downplay by any means the significance of the specific issues that you've raised, but it does raise that broader issue. Infrastructure funding is probably not going to be easy to come by in the short term, judging by the latest state budget. But having said that, the worm turns quickly in relation to those issues, and there is still going to be infrastructure funding in future budgets. There's going to be opportunities for federal funding potentially and partnerships. And knowing what our strategic priorities are, not just in relation to the Channel Highway Corridor, but in relation to infrastructure needs for Kingborough more generally, is something that I'm desperate to see us have a more strategic focus on, so that when the opportunities for funding do arise, we know straight away what's at the top of our list and what our community needs. So thank you for bringing the motion. I'm fully supportive of it. Councillor Bain, summing up.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor, and thank you to everyone for the contributions and support. I guess just in summary, the one thing I want to come back to is my belief is this isn't a huge ask of state government. We're not asking for millions of dollars. We're just asking for their support to get some plans in place and some solid designs so we know exactly what the plan is and how much funding we need, which isn't going to cost a lot of money from state government in comparison to some of the other projects they're funding. But then Lease will be in a position then when there is funding available, we know exactly how much we need and we can apply for that money, whether it's federal, whether it's state, whether it's our own budget bids, which at the moment we can't. So it's just a small step of progress towards what we want to achieve, which is obviously some great outcomes and building these things. But in the meantime, that first step is crucial to get those designs in place. So thanks for everyone's contributions, and hopefully we see some progress in this space.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. The motion is as printed in the agenda and on the screen. All those in favour, please say aye. To the contrary, no. The motion is carried unanimously. Turning to page 116, item 17, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Can I have a mover, please, that in accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence and procurement of services. Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Rantoli. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. Motion's carried unanimously. In accordance with the Council Meetings and Councillor Workshops Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. Thank you to members of the public for their attendance this evening, and thank you to those watching online. Very good night to you. The open session of Councillor...